Today's January 31st, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $41,970.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
January is coming to a close, Rick.
Where did all that time go?
I know, right? It's a catch-22 because in one hand, January seems like it's been a very long month. Like, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in January already. But at the same time, it's like, boom, that's done.
Yeah.
On to the next.
I think it's just work bleeding over into my life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I want to say really ever since COVID, like the time has just felt like it's gone exponentially faster. And I don't know if that's all just due to age or, I mean, just constantly something crazy going on in the world.
I think there's something to that.
It's just a weird feeling. And I mean, I don't want to get overly tinfoil hatty. I mean, cause we could, but, it's just been a crazy chaotic time. Before we forget, we've got our investment of $3,000.
Yes.
So we're doing slightly better than when we recorded the last time, which was on the 28th.
I mean, just a little bit better.
Just a little bit better. We're up $10 from where we were last time. And actually, we're probably less than that because the price has plunged since we put the numbers in. Not plunged. That's a little dramatic.
Well, I don't think it's overly dramatic because, you know, 2023 was kind of the stable year of Bitcoin. I mean, things moved and it generally increased throughout the year, but the movements weren't that big. But this month, the price swings have been wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
As I was saying, for January, I mean, we've probably moved as much as crypto has ever moved, you know, last year.
Yeah. Well, and we've still been very much range bound this year, other than like that peak to 49,000. We've been very much range bound between what, 38 to 44, 43, right in there.
Right in there. Yep.
So we'll see. And I mean, all the markets are reeling right now. And there was a reason for that. What happened today?
Federal chair meeting, or what is that? FOMC?
Yeah, we had the FOMC meeting today, and I think there was a lot of people sitting there that was really expecting the Fed to come out and be... I don't know necessarily if there was a rate reduction expected today. I don't think anybody was expecting a rate reduction in January, but they were expecting them to come out and be a little bit more dovish, I think, than what they were with their remarks.
Yeah. Well, generally, the news articles, if you read the headlines, they were saying they were being very hawkish or yeah.
Yeah, when,
they were not being dovish.
That's basically it. I think they were, people in the Financial Times were looking for the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, to basically be like, well, we're definitely looking at reducing interest rates, like maybe in Q2 or something like that. Like they wanted to hear those words come out of their mouth.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to hear that Papa Powell's going to make it rain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And instead, you know, he came in and he said that inflation was still too high and that March rate cut's not likely. I mean, we've seen this pause. I expect them to continue to pause. We just actually pulled up the M2 money supply chart again. Like this one was updated as of the 17th. And we're still negative. So...
I mean, we're slightly up. We're getting a little bit closer to zero.
Yeah, people are getting a little bit extra money back in their account. But, yeah.
Still negative.
Still negative.
Whatever.
It is what it is. I mean, when you look at the markets as a whole right now, we've got the NASDAQ is down 1.9%. Dow Jones Industrial is down almost 1%. Gold is the only thing actually that's looking okay right now. It's green and it's at 0.32%. Current price of gold actually is $2,045.66. And silver is green. It's at $22.97. Actually, oil's green right now, too. It's at $76.27. But even for oil, though, that's been relatively low as of late.
Yeah, especially considering craziness that's happening out in Iran and Yemen and all that stuff. Oil is still pretty, I mean, it's not super cheap, but it's not as bad as you would think it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, I expected to see this kind of just increase like crazy, but I mean, you know, I don't want to go tinfoil hat time, but I mean, we're getting close to election season. Like, gas pumps will determine the election. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think the problem is Biden's kind of depleted his strategic reserve, so.
Not much to pull from.
It's not his, it's ours, but, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know how much more he can work on that end. He better do it with negotiations and the backroom handshakes with Saudi Arabia or something.
And I didn't have it on the list to talk about, but I guess apparently Saudi Arabia has announced that they're going to join the BRICS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew that was happening. Wasn't the S Saudi?
Yeah.
In BRICS?
Yeah, might as well be. Yeah.
So,
I mean, not the best economic news to start off the year, but we'll have to see how it kind of plays out. Still a lot of time left, you know, and there's a lot of earnings reports and everything else that's going on right now. So the market's just kind of, everything's kind of on, it's like last year, everything's on pause again, right?
Yeah.
Nothing's going to move or shake out until one way or the other. And then kind of another kind of a downer news on the cryptocurrency front was that XRP, one of their own people, Chris Larson, he said that they actually had $112 million worth of XRP stolen. And says, we are aware of the incident. We have an incident response capability and undertake proactive review of open source to identify incidents such as this. Engage with victims and prevent Kraken from being used in this way. So I guess it was off a Kraken exchange where that took place.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And the, you know, one of the higher ups, it's not like one of the founders of that getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of nice for him being, you know, one of the head honchos. They can figure out what happened and maybe take it back somehow.
Well, but then that's part of the problem with like XRP, right? Because if you can take it back, it's not decentralized.
Well, it's definitely not decentralized. And it just shows the weakness of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you lost, you know, $1 million on XRP, would they be coming to your rescue?
If I had that much money in XRP, they might. I doubt it. Yeah, but more likely, no.
No. Well, let's just say you owned, like, you know, what Bitcoin's at 42. Let's say you had $42,000 of XRP. You'd probably be screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been walked out the door. And yeah, I mean, and you hear stories of it all the time. And that's, so for those of you that may not be aware, that's what they call the FUD, right? The fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Like, you will see, especially like if you're on X or Twitter and you're in crypto Twitter and you're looking at some of those stories, like somebody's always like saying something and it could be absolute BS, but they'll put that stuff out there just being like, oh, I just lost 10 Bitcoin due to this thing here, you know, or whatever, you know. And as we get closer and closer to the bull market, actually, like, I mean, I think we're at the beginning of the bull market, but I don't think we're completely in the bull market yet. As we get closer to that, we've talked about this before. Be ready for scammers. They're going to pop up everywhere. And if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably going to be too good to be true. Like my $30,000 loss of XRP, like that was something that happened to me, right? But that was my own fault because I put it into BitConnect, which was this horrible thing. And I knew it was a Ponzi. But I figured I could ride it out faster than you know, I got on early enough, I'd be able to get in and get out before the pyramid collapsed. And nope, I was just one of the Johnny come lately. I was right there at the end holding the bag. Being like, well, and a biscuit.
It is what it is.
Yeah. That was probably my most painful lesson in cryptocurrency.
But yeah, because you got into XRP way early.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was very early on. I was for it, and I had quite a bit of it. But I mean, in one sense, it wasn't much of an investment. But at the same time, it became a pretty nice investment. But
if you actually had that bag instead of just holding it at the end, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty sizable nut nowadays.
Well, and now it probably wouldn't. I mean, it wasn't nearly as good as it would have been, you know, a couple of years back. Now it would have only been about 15,000. But at that one point when XRP hit $3, I was like, oh my God. That's the other thing for people that are getting new. Like, if you've never gone through a bull cycle with Bitcoin or anything like that, just be patient.
Yep.
Be patient. Don't try and get greedy and try and get the money faster than anybody else. Because you're gonna hear those stories. You're gonna hear those stories about the people that put, you know, $100 into Shiba Inu, and all of a sudden they're multimillionaires.
At least for a hot second, right?
Yeah. Well, and then they're like, well, why can't that be me? And then so of course they're looking at the, you know, the basically the crap coins that are out there, and they're trying to buy it like
coins.
Yeah, they're just trying to get something like, why can't that happen to me? Well, guess what? Whenever you hear that story and you buy into that, you're the one that's making them rich when they rug pull you later. So just be patient. That's the only thing I can tell you. Don't get greedy.
Don't get greedy and don't put it in crap coins.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Unless you're a trader and you're smart.
Yeah, I mean, because even traders, I mean, that's why they love the meme coins and all that stuff, right? Because of the fluctuations in that price. They can look at the charts, they know something's going to happen. And if they're really good at the charts, like most of the time, we've talked about this last time too, I think. There's a reason why most of the time, most of those guys lose.
Yeah, because most of them aren't really that good.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there for the most part. Like, just be careful. I think that's the biggest highlight there. And then one last thing that I wanted to kind of bring up, we had kind of talked... we'd pulled up Grayscale numbers, you know, looking around the 17th, not Grayscale numbers, but the ETF numbers. And so far, like what they had minus Grayscale, like within the ETFs, within the, what they call the new nine, which is all the new ETFs minus Grayscale, they were sitting at 68,442 BTC under management as of this 17th. We are now sitting at over 160,000 Bitcoin within the ETFs.
So they've more than doubled what it was the 18th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And I mean, that just, it keeps on sopping it up. And Grayscale's outflows have slowed down significantly.
Oh, I guess we did get around to Grayscale numbers. That's good, though. I mean, that was the hemorrhaging we talked about last time. They were putting it on the open market, which definitely hammered the price.
Yeah. Yeah, Grayscale still sitting. I mean, they finally dipped below the 500,000 mark. So they're sitting right now at 496,573,000 Bitcoin, which, I mean, that's still a huge amount.
That's an ungodly amount still.
But they've slowed down. Like, I mean, it's still a lot, but I guess they sold 4,461 Bitcoin on their last trading volume day. So, I mean, they're still moving some out, but it's slowed down because they were losing significant amounts. I want to say when this all started out, Grayscale had like 650,000 Bitcoin or something like that, but the bleeding is starting to slow down. So,
well, you know what? It's up to them. It's going to slow down. I mean, it's going to affect the price one way or the other, because they are one of the biggest dogs on the block.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they are right now. I mean, if BlackRock and Fidelity keep going, you know, they're going to overtake them.
Yeah, well, and I think shockingly, like Fidelity's actually kind of come on, you know, they've come up pretty strong. Schwab apparently is about to launch an ETF now too. So, I mean, there's a few more people wanting to get in on this fight.
Well, I mean, even with the lowering of the price of Bitcoin, this is one of the, I mean, it is the top ETF of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was somebody on ARK the other day on CNBC or something like that talking about it and just being like, no, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not the top, it is like close to the top. And it probably depends on what metric you're looking at what time. But yeah.
Well, it's in the top 0.1% easy of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And so, I mean, just keep that in mind, especially like if you're getting into crypto and you're kind of scared, especially like if you're buying Bitcoin, even if you're buying the ETF, I don't care if you're buying the ETF if you're doing personal custody. If you're getting exposure, you're getting exposure, right? We recommend strongly that you do personal custody. You know, I think it's important that your ability to hold on to your Bitcoin is not infringed by the government or by some weird something within a company that decides, you know what, no, we're going to stop this now. You can't have that Bitcoin anymore. And that's where I think, you know, self-custody is very important. And I think I do. And I think we did talk about this last time where it's almost, I think the ETFs can be a gateway drug for a lot of people. I think once we start getting into a bull run, you'll have the speculators that'll start to kind of be like, what is this thing? Like, how's this going up 160% in a year? And they'll keep looking at it and it keeps on going up and they'll just be like, what is this? And they'll start to do some research. And at that point, when they start to research, they may actually end up becoming, you know, they may end up becoming the hodlers like the rest of us that hold on no matter what. Because it's those hodlers that keeps the price from going completely to zero. They're the ones that are like, you know what? No, I know what this is. I know what this will be. And that basically that base continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. They draw the line in the sand and that's where Bitcoin will go down no further. And even if you convert like of those speculators that come on board, even if you convert like 30% of them to being like dyed and true like Bitcoin fanatics, that's more people that are going to keep that price higher next time it goes back down.
Yep. That's more mass that will float the ship no
yep.
matter what the undercurrents are.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think get exposure no matter what. And I think do some research on that. I think you'll be convinced on the value of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Oh, so we have some other news for you too. What's the other news that we got today? About a newsletter.
Oh, yeah. We basically got our Bitcoin checklist, cold storage checklist?
Yeah, self-custody checklist, cold storage checklist.
Yeah. So if you want to go to check out our website, I mean, we've been updating it. We've got a little sign-up thing, so you can sign up and get that checklist. And we've started also on a Bitcoin's Basics page. It's under construction right now, but you can at least sign up for that letter and then the newsletter, and then we're going to start building up the basics and kind of go over general stuff for newbies and, you know, provide some information on that side. So there's a lot of things cooking on this side. So go ahead and sign up. We're going to be sending out newsletters. We're just kind of talking about general things that are happening in Bitcoin. And yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the other things too, like if you ever want to, we'll put Discord within, X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I still want to call it Twitter all the time. We'll put the Discord link in there and you can join our chat when we're doing an episode. The other thing too is that we can go ahead and we can put the link for the registering for the sign up directly within our Twitters. So I am Hans at the BitByte Pod 1 and Rick has actually just now joined X 2.
Yep. I'm not subscribed yet on the premium side. That'll come shortly, but what's mine? Is the BitByte Pod R.
So yeah, you can follow either one of us or follow both of us. That's probably even better. And we'll go ahead and we'll put the link to sign up for the newsletter directly within the Twitter feed as well. So If you don't want to go to the site, you can just click on the link that will pop in there, and then you can fill out the form, and you can still get access to the downloadable PDF. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all we have today. We're going to have to wait and kind of see what the market does. Typically, like if again, with these types of things, with the FOMC, when these types of meeting minutes come out, typically 2-3 days later, it's like a nothing burger, and then the market just is like, oh yeah, we want to make money again. So I would expect probably a rough patch for the rest of the week, perhaps. Maybe by Friday we start to go into an upswing. But yeah, after that, people will just be like, yeah, we got to go into something else because we want to make money.
Absolutely. No, it's almost like the market gets into indigestion for a couple of days, and then it gets over it.
Yep, that's exactly it. They're like, okay, on to the next.
Or they get drunk on the news, and then they have a hangover, and things are back to normal.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, because, I mean, they get high on life, right? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, rate cuts. Oh, no. Yeah, so. Cool, man. Was there anything else we needed to bring up?
I think that's it.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening, and we do hope you join us on X, join us on Discord, and sign up for the newsletter.
I'm down.
And the website's the www.thebitbytepodcast.com.